possible with support from Owens Funeral Home at the corner of Elm and University in Champaign, locally owned and operated and serving families since 1925. Owens Funeral Home invites you to join them in supporting public radio. Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Christie Clinic Association, with offices in Champaign, Urbana, Rantoul, and Mahomet. Christie Clinic, medicine for your life. Focus 580 is made possible in part by a grant from the Brown Bag Deli Restaurant, homemade pies by Inge, gourmet foods, cards and gifts, as well as creative crafts, Zimmer Art Gallery, Wacky Nackies, the Bean Scene Cafe, and Prairie Fire Glass, all housed in the same buildings in downtown Monticello.
Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. It's our morning talk show. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. It's the first Wednesday of the month, and it has been our pleasure for some time on the first Wednesday to talk about food. One of the things that we do on the program, just because it's fun. And we have this guy that we call our chef in residence. Doyle Moore is his name. It's a purely honorary title. And once a month, he stops by on the first Wednesday, 10 o'clock hour. And as I say, we talk about cooking. We do different sorts of things. You know, sometimes we have concentrated on a particular dish. For example, he did a special visit with us when we were doing our fundraiser week a couple weeks ago, and we talked about chili. We have also talked about different kinds of cooking from different parts of the country, you know, how we have these regional tastes that people like. And sometimes we've talked about cooking from different parts of the world. And always have a good time. We exchange stories about cooking, and sometimes people just talk about their food memories. And also, sometimes we swap recipes. And it's always fun. I'm always happy to see him. This time around, the suggestion was made, and actually we were talking about this beforehand. I think that it was one of our producers, Harriet Williamson, who said, maybe you could talk about eggs.
Eggs.
And now here's a very sort of a simple, really common thing. And Doyle said, well, now that's interesting. And maybe what we should do is say, let's go beyond the first thing that you're going to think of. So go beyond boiling, poaching, and frying and ask this question, well, what other kinds of things can you do with eggs? That's what we're going to explore here in this part of the show. And as always, of course, questions, but also recipes, comments, whatever, are welcome if you'd like to call in. Here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's for local folks. We do also have a toll-free line. That means if it would be a long-distance call for you, use that number. That's 800-222-9455. Welcome back.
Yes, thank you very much.
Welcome back. So here we have a deceptively simple sort of a thing. I suppose there's, you know, might be some people say, well, I can't eat them. But other than that, it seems like a pretty common sort of a thing to use one way or another.
Yeah. We're slowly shifting back to accepting an egg, not by the bushel basket, you know, but it is not quite as don't touch it as much as it was a few years ago, which was so – when that came out on Time magazine, you know, the two eggs and the bacon, and it was, you know, don't touch this. A lot of that has altered, and eggs are a little more acceptable.
Yeah, there was the big that was when we were just maybe starting to get concerned about cholesterol.
Cholesterol, yes.
And so people were coming along and fingering the egg and saying, "Well, it's got a lot of cholesterol. It's a really bad thing." And consumption, I'm sure, of eggs went down.
Oh, it did indeed.
Probably still not what it was, but then I think afterwards, you know, nutritionists people said, "Well, now look, if you just, you know, have the right kind of balance, it's not going to kill you to have some eggs once in a while, unless you're having a diet that's just saturated in fat and high cholesterol, which is not good for anybody." So, eggs.
Well, yes. Yeah. So, why do the French only cook one egg?
This is a joke, right?
I'm afraid so.
Why do the French only cook one egg?
Yes.
I don't know.
One's an oeuf.
It's the lowest form of humor.
It is, isn't it?
It is.
I like it. I thought we'd start things off with a little levity.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
And tonight I'm cooking a major dish using eggs, so I'm going to give that recipe today.
Okay. Well, again, we'd certainly be happy to hear from other people if you have some egg dish that you would like to call in and tell us about.
Because eggs are changing their look, not their look, but we're now able to get organic eggs, which we haven't. Very much in the past. I mean, if you ran your own farm, you could. Mm. And then they're trying to do some things with radiation and eggs. I don't understand that particularly well. And I think I'm going to make a request of somebody who must have heard the program that I'm like that. Do-it-yourself program where you're trying to put up the wallpaper and listen to the person putting that up, and all of a sudden the ball and the kids come running through, and then you miss it. Well, I was listening to Alton Brown, and he was making the Caesar salad, and he had a technique for using a raw egg, only it wasn't raw. I think it was coddled for a while, but I missed all the phone rang, something happened. I missed all of that, and I cannot find it on television. Maybe if somebody got that recipe, I'd like to know what it is that he did to take a regular egg and make it suitable for using as a raw egg.
Mm-hmm. So there is another big difference when it comes to dealing with eggs, is that because we're now concerned about salmonella.
Exactly.
Those things that we used to, there are no things like mayonnaise.
Yes.
And aioli.
Yes.
And some cake icings.
Yes.
And the Caesar salad, things that where you use uncooked eggs. Now the advice is
don't
do that.
But he had a solution, and maybe somebody has heard it.
Okay. Well, we got somebody ready to go here.
Oh, well, good.
In Urbana.
Egg them on.
Exactly. Line number one, it's Urbana. Hello.
You know, I heard that joke when I was in high school.
So did I.
I didn't think I would ever hear it again in my life. I could hardly believe my ears.
I hope I brought back happy high school memories and not sad ones.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll have to use it one of these days.
I prepared all morning for that.
That's only good if you know at least that much French.
Right. Yeah, thanks for bringing that back.
Okay. You're welcome.
Okay. I have an omelet recipe.
Oh, good. Omelets are, you can get into arguments with them. Mm-hmm. But let's hear what yours is.
Okay. This is if anybody's on a real tight budget, it should be very inexpensive. And I like it. I just take a couple tablespoons of chopped onion and maybe half a clove of chopped garlic, and get the fry pan going and saute them up, and then I just take one egg and pretty large amount of rice and mix them together.
Now, is it cooked rice?
Yeah.
So one egg and what? How much? Maybe half a cup of rice?
Probably. Yeah, it's enough to make it almost kind of solid. Pretty large. More the volume of the rice is more than the volume of the egg.
Oh yes.
And then pull the onion and the garlic out, and mix it all together, and then you throw everything back in the pan, and you have to spread it out because it's so solid. It's almost as much of a rice pancake as it is an omelet.
That sounds kind of good. The egg is sort of a binder of the rice, and you're making this little rice cake, and it's onion and garlic flavored.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds pretty good. That only uses one egg.
Right. So it should be very inexpensive. And then I pour some, when it gets hardened, I pour some, a little bit of ketchup on it on one side and sprinkle it with pepper, and then I do flip it over.
Ah.
And so it kind of is an omelet, sort of.
That's almost, what is that, frittata.
Frittata.
It's very much like a frittata, yes.
Is that right?
A little rice frittata.
Uh-huh.
rice fritter. That's
good. Yeah,
and
you just put it on some toasted rye bread, and you have just a nice little sandwich. And I'm pretty sure everything in there is really inexpensive.
Well, it's not only inexpensive, it also it's a smaller amount of things that you can be eating, and so it's not unhealthy. It isn't something like, avoid all of that.
Yeah.
So that's very good. Well, thank you. That's a good thing to know.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks for the call. Other calls are certainly welcome. Doyle Moore is here. This is our regular monthly show on cooking, which we have done now for a long time on the first Wednesday of the month in the 10 o'clock hour. We always pick some subject and we talk about it and exchange recipes and stories and what have you. And the topic this time around, the egg and what sort of things you can do with eggs, just, you know, beyond the sort of the normal things that we all grew up with, scrambled egg, fried egg, hard-boiled egg, egg salad, you know, just stretching things just a little bit to go beyond there. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. I have been thinking about you mentioned the fact that now that we can get, it is possible to get organic eggs and that there are eggs that are raised in that sort of way. And, of course, there are various kinds of free-range chickens and things like that. And I know a lot of people have real strong feelings about how those eggs are different. And I guess one of the things I'm interested in is what it is that people think the difference is exactly between those kinds of eggs and those that are more, factory produced. I mean, what exactly is the difference? So claim they could taste a difference?
Oh, there is a taste difference.
There is.
Because some of my friends refer to, you know, pecking on the ground chickens is what they call them. And eating eggs from chickens like that they aren't richer, but they're richer in flavor because they've got more things that will flavor. Mm-hmm. I'll give the parallels of that. Butter made from cows that have a certain diet of grass is different from corn-fed, feed-fed cow milk, right. And so it does that. And any good farmer knows that if you put the cattle out on pasture, a weedy pasture, that the milk will then taste weedy and carry some of that flavor. Well, that's exactly what it is with the pecking on the ground chickens, that they're gathering more stuff, and it varies with the season. I will say that my foster father came and to my house here in Champaign. Oh gosh, it's been 40 years ago, but I made scrambled eggs and I had put rosemary and thyme in them. And his response was, "Well, the eggs are pretty good, but you better take those chickens off of the weed pasture," because he felt that was a too strong a flavor. But even he was aware that eggs could be affected by what is eaten. And that's really what it is. They aren't higher or lower in one thing or another necessarily. There may be something subtle that I don't know about, but mainly it's just the transfer of that flavor to the yolk.
All right. Let's talk with some other people here who are listening. And I believe that the next will be Urbana and line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I was just doing some baking for a brunch that we're having this weekend, and so I thought I'd call and give you my favorite brunch recipe.
Good.
With eggs. This is a crab casserole. You put a quarter of a cup of melted margarine or butter into an 8x8-inch pan. Then you beat 12 eggs.
12 eggs.
A quarter of a cup of milk.
1/4 of a big sea of milk, yes.
As much salt and pepper as you like. And then a half a teaspoon of dill.
A half a teaspoon of dill, yeah. Dill weed or
dill
seed?
Weed.
Dill weed, yes.
Then stir in 7 ounces of crab.
Seven ounces.
Lots of times I use canned or you can use fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 6 ounces of cream cheese cut into little cubes.
Cream cheese, yes.
And then you just sort of mix this together. Cover and refrigerate it up to 24 hours so you can do it the night before and not have to worry about doing it in the morning. And then bake it at 350 for 40 to 45 minutes.
350, 40 to 45 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's all there is to it.
That sounds awfully good. Now, these eggs do you beat them up? Or?
Yes, you beat them up, beat them together with the milk, so it's like scrambled. It looks like scrambled eggs.
Okay, so it's.
Then it's sort of a solid once it's baked.
That sounds pretty good.
It is.
Dill, crab, cream cheese, and that's good. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Well, I need to break in here just to bring you a news item to keep you up on what is obviously the big news story, and it's on a lot of people's minds this morning. The Associated Press has learned that John Kerry has called President Bush to concede the race for the White House. That's just recently here on the AP wire. The phone call came after a long, tense night of vote counting with Ohio's 20 electoral votes at stake. The president has maintained a lead of about 136,000 votes in Ohio. We are also told that that Senator Kerry is planning on making a statement, and the information I have is here is that he's supposed to be speaking at 1 o'clock Eastern time. That would be noon our time. I'm assuming that National Public Radio would have live coverage and that we would carry it. Going here with the story from the AP, the sources said this conversation between the president and Senator Kerry lasted less than 5 minutes. They say Kerry told Bush, quote, "Congratulations, Mr. President." A Democratic source says that Kerry also told Bush the country was too divided and that Mr. Bush agreed. And the official says that Kerry added, "We really have to do something about it." So, again, the Associated Press is reporting this morning that Mr. Kerry has called President Bush to concede the White House race, and there is a plan for Kerry to speak at noon our time, 1 o'clock Eastern time, and I would certainly expect that National Public Radio would be offering coverage, and we would have that for you. Here on this program, Focus 580, it's the first Wednesday of the month and has been for a long time our tradition to talk about cooking, something that we do just for fun. We at least hope you enjoyed it. We certainly enjoy doing it here on the program. And with this man that we like to call our chef in residence, his name is Doyle Moore. And this time around, we thought, well, let's talk about eggs, a really simple, sort of deceptively simple kind of thing, but something that you can do a lot of different things with. And his idea was said, well, let's go beyond the basics. Give us a sort of a radical kind of application for the egg. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. And another Urbana caller here, right here, line number two. Hello.
Hi, I'm actually calling not to offer a recipe, but I'm looking for recipes using only egg yolks. I have a daughter who may be allergic to egg whites, and so I'd like to hear about any possible recipes from callers or any other source. Thanks.
Okay. Yes.
Well, we'll see what we can do. I can't think of anything. Do you think of anything right offhand that just uses the yolk and not the white?
No, I'm pondering on that. Every time I'm thinking about it, I come out with no. The yolk is in there. The white is in there as well. Probably what you could do is deal with some of the things that take a beaten egg, a whole beaten egg, and then use water in substitution of the yolk or of the white, and you might end up with a liquid then that would be all right, because it, what you're getting, usually people want it the other way around, you know, get rid of the yolk and what can I do with that, and you add oil because that's one of the major things in the yolk. I should think that some baked dishes where you make some kind of a base that might be potatoes or some potatoes and sausage and make a base for that, and then break the egg yolks, separate them, and place the egg yolks on top, so you might have you'd use an awful lot of egg yolks, though. And then bake that might be a pretty good way. I like making a meat pie, but I put the whole egg in it, and the white goes through through a filling like that. But you might just eliminate the filling and have those baked egg yolks. Might be an
Thank
easy
you.
Way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we'll see what other suggestions people who are listening might have. Now, it is possible to go out and buy just – I know you can buy just whites.
Yes.
And I assume you can also do
that. I don't do think that. So.
You can buy just egg whites, but you can't buy something that's just egg yolks.
Yeah,
so you'd have to go ahead and separate them and toss
them.
I
think so, because I've not seen that, but I have seen whites, because a lot of people want to make a meringue and such things, and so they use whites. And there's a lot of whites are even dried that you can use and make into a meringue.
Huh. All right. Well, let's talk with someone in Champaign, line number 3, right here. Hello.
Hi, this is me.
Yes.
I don't have a recipe. Well, I do have a recipe, but I don't have it with me. Hollandaise sauce.
Oh, yes.
Which goes very nicely on lots of vegetables, uses only egg yolks.
That's right. It does. Yes. Do you have right offhand a Hollandaise recipe
in your
mind? Because, it's melted butter, isn't it?
It's a whole bunch of stuff. I have one more thing that I'd like to contribute. When you're using tinned, I guess we call it canned crab meat.
Yes.
You want to be very careful if you're allergic to sulfites.
I see.
Because I have had very sad experiences with that. And it's not anything that's really pleasant.
Mm.
I am trying to look very quickly, see if I can find my Hollandaise recipe. It's you make a regular, I call it a white sauce. I guess some people call it a cream sauce.
Oh, yes.
And then you, I'm trying to think, you add quite a bit of butter. Quite a bit of butter.
Because you're going to emulsify the butter and the egg yolks.
And then, well, the egg yolks and the lemon come in at the very,
at the
very,
very
last
end. Okay.
And it takes some salt. I don't know where my recipe has gone for that. I know at one point I was somewhere else and I called my son-in-law in England to find my daughter's copy of my mother's recipe.
Oh, my.
But it seems to have evaporated somewhere. I can't find my cookbook.
Well, it's something someone can look up. You're right. The Hollandaise sauce does use only – but then that's a rarefied sauce. I think we're looking for something that would be a little more substantial.
Yeah, well
– although I wanted a Hollandaise recipe sauce because I want to talk about Eggs Benedict.
Ah, yes.
So
– very much so.
Yes.
But no, it's I don't know. It's just I make it without looking. Really, it's like grandma.
Well, you're right. Take so you have.
Yeah, I think it's you have to be careful. You make the cream sauce.
Yes.
And then you put in the egg yolks after it's cooled a bit.
Uh huh.
And mix it all very well, and I think it takes. Then you put in some more butter.
Yes.
And you put in the lemon juice last, and you just furiously mix it in so it doesn't curdle.
So it doesn't curdle, yes, indeed. Yeah.
And you can do that in sort of any order it goes along. It takes a bit of salt.
I would do it in a blender.
I just do it in a saucepan on the stove.
Oh, well, that works.
Make the sauce in the pan.
In the pan, and then start adding, and then and keep stirring, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do have to watch that.
But I really did want to caution because I happen to be allergic to sulfites.
I see. Well, that's a good thing to know.
And quite often, canned crab meat does have them as a preservative.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
Just like red wine.
Yes.
Which I can't drink very much anymore because they put it in there.
They put it in there, you're right.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my contribution for the day.
Well, good. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, here now I'm looking at one of our favorite websites, Epicurious.
Yes.
And I have there are a number of holiday sauce recipes. And as the caller said, I've looked at a couple of them, and they do have a lot of butter in
it. It is a lot of butter.
It's a lot of butter. But here's a basic one, for example. You take 2 tablespoons of white wine vinegar, 1/4 teaspoon salt, white pepper to taste, and 2 tablespoons water.
And 2 teas of water.
And then you put that in a heavy saucepan and bring it to a boil and reduce it until you have about 2 tablespoons.
Mm-hmm.
Then you whisk into this 3 large egg yolks, and you cook that over very low heat, whisking constantly until it's thickened.
Thickened.
And they say again, yeah, be careful. You don't want to scramble your eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Then you whisk in the butter. one piece at a time, and we're talking about two sticks, an entire cup.
A half pound.
Of unsalted butter cut in two pieces. So you whisk that in one piece at a time, and then when you're pretty much done, right at the end, you take it off the heat, and then you whisk in 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, 3/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper. And salt to taste. And this is, as they say, this will get you about a cup and a half of sauce. And that's just one. I mean, there are a number of others. There is, as you suggest, one recipe that you can make in a blender. And there's something called mock hollandaise, which you make with mayonnaise. That's mayonnaise, Dijon mustard. It's got some orange juice, orange peel, lemon juice, white wine vinegar, salt. That also has butter in it, but not as much. That only has a half stick of butter. And that is supposed to make 4 servings. And that is for to use on Eggs Benedict. So it's a recipe for Eggs Benedict with what they call mock hollandaise. So that's maybe, I don't know, if you'd like to get the fat in the sauce down a little bit, maybe that would be one way to do it. So I guess there's a number of ways to concoct this sauce, but it sounds like they're all sort of in the same
It's an emulsion, so that's what the egg yolks are for, and then it wants to be sour, and that's what the lemon juice is for. What I do is I start out making something that would be like a mayonnaise, so I just put eggs and a little bit of mustard, and then start adding the oil to it until it gets real thick, and then I thin it all down with lemon juice, and that's about all I put into it when it's done in the blender, and it's done, and I never told anybody I was trying to do something else. I just what I put on top of the eggs.
All right. Well,
so it's really just a mayonnaise thinned out with a lot of lemon juice.
We are just a bit past the midpoint of this show, Focus 580, this hour of the program, with Doyle Moore, the man we'd like to call our chef in residence every month. He shows up here on the first Wednesday in the 10 o'clock hour. We talk about cooking, and this time around the suggestion was, well, let's talk about eggs and things that you can do with eggs. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. The next caller here is on our line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a recipe that we call a grandma recipe in our family because we got it from my husband's mother. It's eggs a la goldenrod.
Goldenrod. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and what you do is you boil your egg so that the yolk is firm, and you then crack it and separate the white from the yolk.
Mm-hmm.
You make a basic white sauce, and you chop up the egg white and put it into the white sauce. Then you make some sort of toast or something that you want to serve it on top of. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be bread. It could be something else. And you put the cream sauce with the egg whites there, and after you've mashed up the egg yolks, you sprinkle them on top.
Oh, sprinkle them on top like a goldenrod. Yes.
Right.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. And my children absolutely love that recipe. It's one way that I can get them to eat eggs, you know, that are made a little fancy compared to just standard, easily fried eggs or scrambled eggs.
Do you put any herb flavoring in that at all?
Usually I don't, because my kids' palates sort of rebel if I...
So you want it
fancy,
pretty straightforward. Uh-huh.
But you could definitely, you know, doctor up the sauce by adding various different herbs.
If you were to put some cheese in that sauce, you'd end up with something very much like eggs mornay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very similar, because that's what it is. It's a white sauce that's very cheesy, and then the other stuff, the cooked eggs, are inside that, and then you can still chop those up and sprinkle the others on top.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like a little cheese in that sauce.
That would be yummy.
Yes, it would be.
Good idea.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's go to line number 3, I believe, in Champaign. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
I thought I would call in with a recipe that uses just egg yolks.
Yes, good.
It's just plain old egg noodles, but that would make something fairly substantial, and you can use it in soups or hot dishes or whatever you want.
Yes.
The recipe I have for my mom is 8 egg yolks, a cup of milk, 4 teaspoons salt and 4 cups flour, and you mix that into a dough and roll it into sheets with a rolling pin, and just cut the sheets into rectangles and kind of, you know, jelly roll those a little bit and cut up the noodles. And, yeah, that'll make enough for several servings, and you can even freeze the leftovers before you cook them. You just boil them up.
Oh, yeah, yes, freeze them and then bring them out later and cook them up, yes.
Right.
That sounds pretty good. And you know, homemade noodles are really pretty nifty, and that's very simple. There's a lot of kneading, though, isn't there, when you mix all that, the milk and the flour and the eggs?
Yeah, it's a little worky.
And you want to knead it. And then I remember, I don't know why Mother always did it on a newspaper. I thought there'd be, oh, no. They were dried on the newspaper.
Right.
Yeah, they were dried on the newspaper. And sometimes some folks even like to lay them over a broom handle and dry them. But they want to be dried just a little bit before you cook them, because cooking them fresh, they don't take very long, and they sometimes fall apart. So drying them just a bit, an egg noodle, that's a good thing to make. But, oh, I remember it seemed to me like hours and hours of kneading and kneading and kneading and kneading, and you blend all that so carefully. But I remember that. That's a good taste. Egg noodles.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks very much. So what really – why does it make so much difference? For example, you make pasta.
Yes.
Put eggs in there, but you put in the whole egg.
You put in only one egg, yeah.
So this is just it's
remember I said that the egg yolks have a lot of oil in them.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And so you're really giving a certain amount of oil. If you're doing pasta, you put in one egg and – my recipe, I put in a tablespoon of oil. Yes. And so take that out. So you're going to use only egg. This sounds very much like an Amish recipe of the homemade egg noodles.
Yeah. Well, it's like my mom and grandmother made noodles. And it sounds like, you know, I know I have made them, but not in a long, long time.
It's sort of something that sort of just passed away. You've been buying other noodles, which I never did like. I never did. Huh. Did like the noodles that come in a bag. So I've even found the frozen noodles, homemade noodles like that.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes at the farmer's market there are some noodles that were homemade noodles.
I think my mother and my grandmother particularly, they rolled them kind of thick. So I'm thinking that maybe they were almost kind of like dumplings that just happened to be long strips.
Well, but that's exactly right. They are thicker. They aren't real thin, slimy things.
Right. Okay. Let's
egg noodles. Good.
Let's go to line 2, I think. Hello.
Is that me?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning. For the woman who wanted only egg yolks.
Mm-hmm.
I have a recipe. It calls for cookies. It calls for 3 egg yolks, and it calls for 1 egg white. But that's too brush on the top, and you can you can substitute something else for that. You can brush them with milk, or you can brush them with water, or you can brush them with egg yolk. Egg yolk mixed with water works.
Yes,
as far as brushing.
That'll brown them. Yeah,
on the top. They're called little butter S's. And this is about a 40-year-old recipe out of the Women's Day magazine.
Mm-hmm.
A 1/4 pound or a 1/2 cup, which is the same amount of butter. Says granulated sugar. I think you roll them in that. 3 egg yolks well beaten, 2 tablespoons milk, 1/4 teaspoon salt, about 2 cups sifted flour. I guess it depends on the temperature of your butter. And the egg white, which can be substituted in, 2 tablespoons finely minced unblanched almonds.
Almonds. Mm-hmm.
So you cream the butter, you add 1/3 cup of sugar and the egg yolks. You beat until light. You add the milk, the salt, and enough flour to make the dough easy to handle. Let's see where the butter comes in. Well, break off small pieces of dough. Oh, you cream the butter. That was first.
Yeah, the butter and sugar.
Yeah, roll between floured hands until about 1/2 inch thick and finger-shaped. Put on cookie sheets in the shape of an S. Brush with egg white or whatever you substitute. Mix with 1 tablespoon of water. Mix almonds and 1 tablespoon of sugar and sprinkle on them, and then you bake it in a moderate oven at 325 for 15 minutes.
325 for 15 minutes, yes.
Did you get all that down?
Yep.
Oh, wow, you're fast.
Well, I'm sitting here writing. I learned from Bob and Ray how to write recipes. Do you remember, one big tea, one little tea?
Absolutely.
Well, I sit here and giggle to myself thinking that I'm writing this in this sort of shorthand way, and it goes very fast. And so I always appreciate their little big tea and little tea.
Oh, I didn't learn that from them. That's just how we did it.
Oh, really? Yes.
Yeah. All right, and then I have a recipe for apple fritters or apple omelets.
Oh, let's see. Fritters are harder to make. Let's
right.
have fritters.
Well, it's the same recipe.
Oh.
You just do different things with the apples.
Different cooking.
Cook them a little differently.
Yes.
All right. This calls for a cup of reconstituted milk, because we used powdered milk for everything that we...
Would you use evaporated milk?
No.
No. So reconstituted dry milk.
Yeah, I mean, you can use regular milk. I just think it's a waste. So a cup of milk, 3/8 cups flour, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 3 eggs, 2 apples.
And 2 apples. Mm-hmm.
So you either start with the milk or reconstituted. Beat in the eggs, and then you gradually beat in the flour and the salt. Now, if you have somebody allergic to wheat, you could substitute cornstarch. You'd probably use a little less.
Oh, yes.
It's just for thickening.
Mm-hmm.
For the omelet, you finely chop the apples and add to the egg mixture. Pour in a thin layer into a hot greased omelet pan or frying pan.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we turn them over, but we would... it was very thin, so you didn't need to turn it over. The apples kind of actually stuck up out of it. And when all the egg is solid, then you get underneath it with a spatula and put it right side up on a plate and sprinkle with cinnamon sugar immediately.
Oh, boy, cinnamon sugar. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. For the fritters, you want to core and slice your apple in rings.
In rings, uh-huh.
Yeah, and then you dip them in the same batter that the omelet is. I usually make the omelet because it's easier.
Yes.
And then you fry them in a layer of hot fat just deep enough to cover the slices. So you're essentially shallow deep frying them.
Uh-huh.
And then when they, when the egg solidifies, you put them on a plate and you sprinkle them with cinnamon sugar. So probably the omelet recipe is better.
I think that sounds easy. I thought that would be easier than
fruit. It's better for people watching how much fat they take in.
Yes.
So, but it's delicious.
Dry milk and flour, salt, eggs, and apples. That's mm-hmm. good.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's see. Well,
and apple rings.
We'll go next to somebody in Mahomet on a cell phone. Line number one. Hello.
Yes. Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you received the recipe yet for the basic hollandaise sauce, but I have one that I would like to share that I've used for a number of years, and it seems to work out quite well. The source of the recipe actually is from the Betty Crocker cookbook, and it's a hollandaise sauce that's made in the blender.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for it. I had it a minute ago, and it just disappeared.
They do
but
that.
Basically, it's to start with 3 egg yolks and 1 stick of butter. And basically what I do is place the egg yolks in the blender.
In the blender, yes.
Okay. And I then, shall we say, blend them on a high speed on the blender. And then I add 1 stick, that's butter or margarine, which has been melted either in the microwave, but really
oh,
to
yes.
the point that it's super, super hot, almost bubbling.
Oh, yes.
And 1 1/2 teaspoons of lemon juice. So basically you whisk or puree, or I should say the highest speed on the blender,
mm-hmm.
until the yolks are well blended. Add the the 1.5 teaspoons of lemon juice. Add the one, I'm sorry, yeah, it's, well, I meant 1.5 tablespoons of lemon juice. Add the melted, very hot stick of butter. I have done it with margarine.
Yes.
And just, and when you add the butter, you must add it very, very, very slowly.
Oh, yes, you're
kind of a drip.
You'll cook those eggs.
Blending very, very high. And you can add a little Tabasco, but just, as I said, the slower you add this butter, I use a measuring cup and very slowly pour it in, and then the sauce will thicken very, very well. And therefore, you don't have to do it on the range. And
on the, yes.
And reduce the risk of curdling. And also, some people do transfer to a container and put it in a, you know, a saucepan of hot water, so it keeps the temperature but prevents it from curdling.
And from curdling, yes. That's very good.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Oh, another thing. I'm sorry. One other thing is I don't have my recipe available right now, but German pancakes where you bake them in the oven and
I was thinking of that when the last person was telling about the omelet that she did with apples. I was thinking of the German pancakes.
But I do that in the oven, and again, you have to do a very high temperature
yes.
on that with the eggs. I think it used to be 3 eggs. Might have been 2 or 3 tablespoons of butter, a cup of milk, and I can't remember how much. I think it's also a cup of flour. I think it's like 1-1-1, except for the 3 egg yolks, or the 3 whole eggs. And you make that up to a batter. In the meantime, you melt the butter in the pie pan in a very hot oven of, 400 or 500 degrees.
Oh, yes.
And I usually refrigerate the batter first and then take it out, remove the batter from the refrigerator and pour it into this very hot pie pan that has the melted butter, which has been moved around so it covers the entire dish.
Oh, yes.
Place it in the, keep it in this, about the third or a half level of the oven. Add the, add the batter, then close the oven and reduce the heat to, 400, and then every 5 or 10 minutes, I reduce the temperature another 25 degrees.
Oh, bring it down,
Right, until you cook it approximately, I think it's about 20, 25 minutes. And it just glows up beautifully, and serve it with, a lot of people serve it with extra butter on the side, powdered sugar.
And powdered sugar, lemon juice. And lemon juice, yes.
Or you can put any other topping on it. But it looks as good as it served as at the original House of Pancakes. In fact, that's the recipe.
That's the recipe, yes.
Yeah, but it originally came, as the woman said before, from Women's Day magazine.
Uh-huh. I would take the lemon and grate some of the rind into the butter, and that would be an awfully good taste of butter. It would be lemony, and then
that
use
that. That would be an excellent idea.
Yeah, I think that would work good, too. It would be a
right.
good,
and
rich
taste.
Right, and
it does a wonderful job of fogging your coronary arteries.
That's good. Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
So better use in moderation,
yes.
I guess. All right. We have about 5 minutes left. We have a number of callers, and we'll try to get one or two in the time that remain. Going next to Champagne in line number 3. Hello.
Am I on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I had 2 quick questions. One is, can I get the recipe, the one for the casserole with the cream cheese? Somewhere from the website?
It will appear on that because I have that one written down.
Okay.
And then there will be somebody who will transcribe these and get them onto the website.
Okay.
It might be easier, more reliable if you just drop us a postcard and we could mail it to you.
Yeah.
Okay. My other quick question is, I was looking up a recipe for a cake mix out of my old Joy of Cooking the other day, and saw a couple recipes. They were for just yellow cakes that only used egg yolks, and I was surprised by that. I didn't try them because I didn't want to use just the egg yolks. But do you know why that would be? Why in a cake?
It would be denser, probably there was less oil or butter used in that cake recipe, and so it would be a denser cake than one that you would fluff up with other stuff like the whites and probably not as much butter but more whites.
Okay.
So my guess is it makes a denser cake.
Then last, actually, I'm not going to read the recipes, but I was just going to give suggestions to people in looking for some recipes to use up collards and kale and things like that that are not very palatable for my family, my children, I should say, not my husband and I. I did find like three different recipes in a recipe book called From Asparagus to Zucchini. It's a CSA cookbook from up in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
But three of them actually did combinations with eggs, similar, like not really souffles, but, you know, like one had bright brown rice in it with eggs and then used the greens in it. Another one used vermicelli and cheese and eggs, you know, in varying amounts. And actually, I was surprised at how palatable it was, even for my children.
Were they baked or fried?
They're all baked.
They're all baked, yeah. Uh-huh.
In different, you know, but there's three different recipes in that song, so I'm not going to read them. But I just thought that if people wanted
to look for,
look at something that, you know, they have onions and herbs and things like that as well. But
sounds pretty wholesome.
Yeah, yeah, like they were. And hearty.
Yeah, and hearty, yes.
So, anyway, that's all. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Line two is next. The caller is in Urbana. Hello.
Hi. I was wondering if you happen to have a recipe for egg sardou. I have very fond memories of egg sardou.
Egg sardou is one of the like an eggs Benedict. And let's see, egg sardou. What does it have in it?
You call it had cream spinach and artichoke hearts.
Oh, with the artichoke hearts, yes. Because if it was just spinach, that would be Florentine. I have a book here, but I don't see that egg sardou in that. That's something that you want to go to New Orleans and have.
That's where I had it.
That's exactly where you had it. Yes, I'll bet. So all of those the eggs Benedict, the one on a tomato, and one on spinach. That's Florentine.
I think it was a poached egg.
It would be a poached egg. So what those are it's all the same sauce, but it's a different basis, and you have a toasted English muffin half, and then you put a base of something on there. One of them what could be a grilled tomato, and then you put a poached egg on top of that, and then cover that with the sauce. So each of those variations is the same sauce and the same technique, but a different base. And if sardou was the one with artichoke hearts, you'd have to make a little white sauce. And probably make some change in the sauce. My guess is I put some mustard in it, and have a little sharp taste with the artichokes because they're kind of bland.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, right. Egg sardou. Yes, that's a rare one.
All right, let's go to someone in Downs here, line four. Hello.
Hi. Doyle, I did not see the Elton Brown show, but I will tell you that Shirley Corriher, if you know who she is, she wrote a book called Cookwise that is part food science and part recipes. She says that you need to hold yolks at 3.5 minutes at 140 degrees.
3.5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
That's longer than I would have thought.
But only if at 140 degrees, which...
Oh, but 140 degrees, just, yes.
I mean, I think
my
water heater is probably at 140.
That would do it. So, so it's kind of coddling?
Yeah, she doesn't really say how to do it. She does say that you can heat 2 yolks with 1/4 cup of liquid from a recipe.
Oh, I see.
Kind of do it, stir it over heat, and then take it off before they start to scramble. But according to her, they scramble at 180, so that's quite a bit.
If you see them scrambling, run. Hurry, hurry. But even the lightest scrambling would mix up in a blender. And
right.
So that's probably what it was. Yeah, that must be it, because 3.5 minutes sounds like something that would raise the temperature more correctly than just a minute or so. And if it's only going to be 140, I'm still going to try to hunt that down. I get lost in the internet, and I just am so sure that recipe is there. And it happened so quickly, it couldn't be something that was so complex, because I hardly turned around and it was over.
Yeah.
And it never repeated it. Well, thank you very much. That gives me something to look forward to, 140 degrees,
yeah.
3.5 minutes. Great. Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, we're going to have to stop. We've used up our time. Talked to quite a few people. We can promise you, I think we'll try to get some of these recipes transcribed, and we're probably have more luck getting them out to you in print if you give us a call or drop us online. Then look for them on the website. Eventually, we hope to do that, get more recipes on the website. But in the meantime, do the old-fashioned thing and just drop us a line. And we'll see you again in December.
Well, yes, indeed.
That would be first Wednesday.
That is the next month, isn't
yeah.
it?
Doyle Moore.
Yes, indeed.
The man we like to call our chef in residence is here once a month, always on the first Wednesday. We talk about cooking in the 10 o'clock hour. The show made possible by Grant from the Brown Bag Deli Restaurant, Homemade Pies by Inge, Gourmet Foods, Cards and Gifts, as well as Creative Crafts, Zimmer Art Gallery, Wacky Nackies, the Bean Scene Cafe, and Prairie Fire Glass, all housed in the same buildings in downtown Monticello. The broadcast also made possible by Grant from RE/MAX Realty Associates, currently handling over 30% of the real estate sales and transactions in Champaign County. 352-5700. Nobody sells more real estate than RE/MAX, and they encourage you to join them in supporting public broadcasting. The show is also made possible with support from the Art Mart in the Lincoln Square Mall, Urbana. The Art Mart is pleased to support public radio in East Central Illinois. In the next hour of the show, we'll continue to talk about food, but in a little bit different way. We'll look at the things that food can tell you about people and their history, particularly here in the United States. Our guest will be culinary historian Barbara Haber. She's authored a book titled From Hardtack to Home Fries, An Uncommon History of American Cooks and Meals. That's in the next hour. We'll also have an update for you on the commodity markets and 1 minute past the hour news from National Public Radio. So stay tuned.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety is proud to underwrite agricultural programming on WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
And with this update,